Welcome to Lawmen, a podcast about local legends and obscure curiosities from days of yore. I'm Alistair Beckett-King.
And I'm James Shakeshaft.
This story is about Tuesday Lobsang Rampa. I don't want to give away anything in the intro. If you haven't heard of Tuesday Lobsang Rampa, do not Google it.
No, because you'll get a response saying, did you mean Tuesday's Lobster Rampage?
Are you ready for a story, James?
Yeah.
Well, it's not exactly a story. It's the tale of a man.
Okay.
And his name is T. Lobsang Rampa. What does the T stand for? It stands for Tuesday.
What?
Yep. The man's name is Tuesday Lobsang Rampa. I'm showing you the cover of the book he wrote called The Third Eye. And I showed you this before, and you asked me what period of time he belonged to, because he looked like he was from the future.
Yes, definitely.
Lobsang Rampa was a Buddhist. And so was really from the past, having had many lives.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Lobsang Rampa was a little boy from Tibet.
Right.
Sorry, the whole premise of the story is that he's from Tibet.
Okay.
I couldn't remember where he was from. Lobsang Rampa was a seven-year-old boy who was taken to the Lamaserry, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, which is like a monastery, but for would-be llamas. Stop laughing at llamas.
Oh, like the
one
Dalai Lama.
As in the Dalai. So the
do Welsh people think they're called llamas?
And he became a llama.
Sure.
A neck-stretching procedure. No, but there was a very strange procedure. He underwent a procedure to open his third eye, which is on his forehead.
Oh.
So after undergoing a series of trials to make sure that he was worthy and that he had the necessary sort of talents, he was prepared by the senior lamas. Stop sniggering every time I say llama. I'm going to say it loads more, James.
Okay.
I'm going to say llama almost throughout.
All right.
So one of the llamas took him... The senior llama takes his head between his knees in a room. You've got very serious now, but it gets kind of better, but kind of worse.
Mm-hmm.
And another llama took a tool, which he describes as being like a bradawl.
Yeah.
So it's like a little, it's like a screwdriver, but for making a small hole.
Yeah, it's one of my, I don't have one. I wish I had a bradawl.
Yeah.
You can kind of just use a screwdriver though.
Yeah, you can. But this was different because the end was sort of U-shaped and had sharp teeth. And he placed,
like a horseshoe.
U-shaped looking at you. So imagine that there's a sort of a hollow, like the central valley of a sword running down the length of it.
Mm-hmm.
He placed it right in the centre of young Tuesday's forehead.
Yeah.
And began to turn the handle and drill into the forehead of the little boy.
Oh.
So it's trepanation is what we're talking here.
Yeah.
And with a little scrunch sound, I think he describes, he doesn't feel any pain even as it goes through the bone. And once it's through the bone, he takes a
he wouldn't be able to feel any pain. No nerve endings in the brain.
No. He takes a splinter, a needle of wood, perfectly conical, hardened wood, as hard as metal, and slides that into the groove in the tool, and then gradually, very gradually, into the brain of the little boy. And he experiences a piercing flash of light and intense pain that subsides very quickly and starts to feel unusual sensations. But they withdraw the bradawl tool and they bind him up, leaving the splinter, the little conical pointy bit of wood in there for 3 days, and he stays in a darkened room for 3 days, and then nothing happens. And then they come and they remove him. And when they remove it, he discovers that his third eye is now open, and he's able to see the golden auras around the llamas that were attending to him. And
I forgot all the way through the llama was doing it.
Please visualize it. And that indicated... He later learns that the gold aura around them indicates their purity. It takes him a while to get used to this, so he looks out into the hallway and he yells, "Help, help! The cleaner is on fire!" But actually, the cleaner is just very angry, and what he's seeing is sort of blue smoke billowing out of the cleaner with flecks of red. That represents the anger and the fury in the cleaner.
Uh-huh.
And the lamas teach him the how to read the auras and how to interpret them, and also how to close his third eye so that he isn't overwhelmed by this knowledge of people's innermost secrets and personal truths.
Mm-hmm.
The book Tilob Samrang for the Third Eye is the account of his life. It's not a highly directed story. It's very sort of picaresque. One thing happens, then another thing happens, and then this big thing happens, and then he has a bit of an adventure and he sees a Yeti. Oh, yeah, there's a Yeti in it.
Whoa.
And this book came to the attention of the publisher, Frederick Wahlberg, in the early 50s, and it was being presented by Dr. Carl Kuon Suo.
Huh?
A mysterious figure known as Dr. Carl Kuon Suo. Now, I can't tell you how the biography of Tuesday Lobsang Rangpa got into the hands of that man.
Mm.
But the important thing is it did, and then it got into the hands of a publisher and then became an international worldwide hit, printed in lots of languages, and was very, very successful. And this is where the story of magic and child abuse gets strange.
Yeah.
Because the Daily Mail investigated Dr. Carl Kuon Suo and found out that his name was actually Cyril Henry Hoskins, and that he was from Plimpton in Devon, and was the son of a plumber who had never, not only not been to Tibet, but had never left the country. And it is hypothesized by some that that man wrote the book. Now, before Wahlberg published it, he sent the text to a variety of Tibetan scholars, all of whom said, absolutely not, this was not written by anybody with any knowledge of Tibet. It's complete nonsense. It's definitely not true. But don't let that colour your view of it.
Right.
Because once it was revealed that Cyril Henry Hoskins, plumber's son, was involved in the authorship of the book, he explained that obviously he hadn't actually travelled from Tibet after the communist invasion, as Tuesday Lobsang Rampa said he had. What happened was, and I think you're going to find this very persuasive, he was in a tree trying to photograph an owl.
Cool.
And he fell out and hit his head. And at that point, the spirit of the Lama Tuesday Lobsang Rampa entered his body. And from that point onwards, he was Tuesday Lobsang Rampa. And to his enormous credit, he maintains that for the rest of his writing career, writing about, I think, like 18 other books by Tuesday Lobsang Rampa. He never at any point says, it was the owl. Or he never blames anybody else.
Right, yeah.
He never credits anybody but Tuesday Lobsang Rampa. That isn't quite true. He does give co-credit for one of his books to his Siamese cat, Fifi Grey Whiskers, who communicated some of the material, some of the substance of that book, telepathically, James.
Of course.
He was hounded by the press in the 50s in the UK. And so he went to Canada, where he lived out the rest of his life.
He left the country.
Yeah, had to leave the country. So he did finally leave the country. Didn't go to Tibet.
Nope.
It was under Chinese occupation by then.
Okay.
So fair play, wouldn't have been welcome.
Mm.
And there is a statue of him.
Mm-hmm.
Where might it be? Tibet? Calgary in Canada, where he lived?
Plimpton?
Plimpton? Devon? No. It is in Kemerovo in Russia. A statue of him and Fifi Grey Whiskers the cat. And I can't find out why. I have no idea why there's a statue of him there. I have no idea what connection he has to that location.
Do you think maybe, like, a sculptor was in a tree trying to make a sculpture of an owl and he fell out?
Lobsangrampa.org exists and is a completely straight and sincere account of his teachings and a variety of sort of Tibetan mysticism.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically...
Lot clip art.
It's very 1.0.
Right.
It's very much web 1.0, yes.
I'm imagining a black background with green writing.
Yeah, all right, but I'd like to see you having that much of a visitor count on your site, James. So we should be so lucky.
Yeah.
No one's signing our guest book. All right, I can see that you're sceptical. I can see that you're sceptical and that you think the word llama is funny. You're ever so clever, James. Well, okay, maybe you don't believe he was a Tibetan. Maybe you don't believe that he left Tibet after the communist invasion and learned to speak English from an American woman in a Japanese prisoner of war camp. Maybe you don't believe that. But he has anticipated in the year of the wood sheep, which was when this preface was written, he's anticipated your criticisms. And he I don't know when that year is. He has prepared a defence, and it is, and now legal experts will recognise this, it is a classic example of the giant turtle defence.
Ah.
Okay. I'm not going to do the accent, because the Devon / Tibet accent. He writes, "Some of my statements, so I'm told, may not be believed. That is your privilege, but Tibet is a country unknown to the rest of the world. The man who wrote of another country that the people rode on turtles in the sea was laughed to scorn. So were those who had seen living fossil fish. Yet the latter have recently been discovered, and a specimen taken in a refrigerator aeroplane to the USA for study. These men were disbelieved. They were eventually proved to be truthful and accurate. So will I be." I feel like I should be reading that in more of a Garth Marenghi voice. The man who wrote of another country that the people who rode turtles in the sea was laughed to scorn. So were the people who'd seen living fossil fish. Yet the latter have recently been discovered and a specimen taken in a refrigerator aeroplane to the USA for study. These men were disbelieved. They were eventually proven to be truthful and accurate. So will I be.
Put that llama down, Garth. Is that meant to be him on the cover?
That is him on him on the cover. That is what Cyril Henry Hoskins, a.k.a. Dr. Carl Kuon Suo, looked like.
A.k.a. Tuesday Lobster...
Tuesday Lobster Ramper. Lobster arguably, Rumba. That is the face of a white man holding a diamond.
It looks like Donald Pleasance in makeup, bad makeup.
It looks an awful lot like nose. Donald Pleasance.
With a fake nose.
Yeah.
What's happened to his hands?
His hands are cupped around a ruby.
Oh, cool.
I don't think the ruby's a literal ruby because, you know, Buddhist monks eschew trappings of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect it's representative of the gift of the vision, clairvoyance.
Oh, yeah, being
the
third ruby.
Eye. Yeah.
Because rubies.
Look, book covers aren't easy, James.
No.
And you've got to admit, that you is a think. Cracker. I mean, the reason I'm bringing this story to you is purely because I bought it for 20 pence in a charity shop based exclusively on the cover.
And the name?
And the name, T-Lob Sangrampa.
T-Lob Sangrampa. It's probably Tom.
Oh, people also fly on kites. That's another thing I forgot. Fly around in full-size kites.
Oh, that's happened. Tibet. That happened.
Yeah, yeah.
That happens.
Yeah. So do giant turtles, James. There are more things in heaven and earth.
I'm not even sure I believe in refrigerated aeroplanes, to be honest. Let alone that Tuesday's a first name.
The reason it's Tuesday is that everybody in Tibet is named after a day of the week, which you would know if you read this book
in English, and
no other accounts of what the naming practices in Tibet are. Right. Apparently that's not true.
So there's seven first names.
There's seven first, very confusing.
Yeah. Mm.
That's my story.
That's a good...
Make of it what you will. The answer may never be known.
It was a wild ride. I felt
a
lot of...
unnecessary amateur surgery.
Really made me squirm that.
Yeah. I did want to go into detail because it's a very entertainingly written book.
Mm. Even if you don't find llama funny.
Time for the scores, James.
Yeah.
My first category is names. I'm going to change that. My first category is names.
Yeah. Yeah. 100 out of 5.
It's the name.
Yes.
T-Lob Sangrampa.
A.K.A.
Carl Kuon Suo, A.K.A. Cyril Hoskins.
Cyril Hoskins. Yeah. Tuesday. That wins. Why Tuesday? Why... Where'd you come up with the name?
If you were going to make up a fake name for a Tibetan monk...
Yeah.
Let's hypothetically say you're in Plimpton, you're photographing an owl and you have an idea.
Mm. I could write a book from the point of view of a Tibetan monk.
What should it be called?
Gonna need a name.
And then you look at the calendar.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it. Tuesday.
Tuesday.
It's very much the Madame Doubtfire style of writing.
Yeah.
And then there's a lobster singing on a ramp.
Doing the rumba. It sounds like a T, like Lapsang Souchong. Yeah,
it does sound like a T.
Lapsang Souchong.
I feel like, if you did say that in a Central London tea shop, they'd come back with something.
Five out of five for names, obviously.
Thank you very
obviously.
Much. Thank you. Five out of five for name.
Name, for name.
I'm shifting the category just because we're not going to get better than that.
Mm.
Next category, supernatural. There was a Yeti.
Oh, yeah. What happened with that? That was quite lost Yeti. From the programme Lost.
I don't know. He saw the abominable snowman. I didn't go into that much detail. I spent most of the time reading the bit about the drilling into the head.
Okay. Did he even get an aura read off that?
Off the Yeti?
Was it an abominable aura?
Chilly. So cold.
Because might it not have been just a big mountaineer who had a white aura?
Who knows more about the Himalayas? and their denizens, James, or Cyril Hoskins.
Plumber's sons from Plimpton.
Yeah. Sorry, the plosives on Plumber's son from Plimpton are off the hook.
I'm glad
James.
We invested in pop shields for this episode.
Whoa. You're looking like you're negotiating yourself down from...
It's not loads.
It's just clairvoyant. It could see into people's souls, James.
But that's like bringing in Harry Potter and going, oh, here's a book.
How do you explain the owl?
I don't know. How do I explain the chatty cat?
Yeah, give it its name, Fifi Greywhiskers. I didn't even bring Fifi Greywhiskers into naming. That's how confident I was.
And she was psychic.
Yes.
I assume Fifi's a feminine name.
Yes, I think so.
And all cats are girls.
Yeah, the other one didn't do any writing.
It was just lazy.
Yeah, just another second Siamese cat.
Four.
Four?
Yeah.
Decent.
It's a lot.
I'll accept it.
Considering.
All right.
A bit of it is because of the Russian...
Yeah, the mystery of why is there a statue. Arguably, I could have done more research, but I can't find out.
That definitely exists.
I've seen a picture of it.
Right, okay.
But I was sceptical enough that I double-checked that it wasn't just a picture of a statue of a man with a cat.
Man and cat.
That had been mislabeled by a liar. And I managed to find another website referencing the first website.
Also GeoCities?
Very much in that sort of Lycos area.
Nice.
I asked Jeeves, and he didn't know anything more than I already knew.
Mm-hmm.
My next category, chutzpah.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't think we've ever had anyone on the podcast with as much chutzpah as a main subject as T-Lob Sang Rampa.
Or Cyril Sneer.
Or
what was it? Cyril?
Cyril Henry Hoskins.
Cyril Double H.
Either, just because Lob Sang Rampa goes off on his own, walks all the way to a lamasery on his own.
Doesn't even hitch a lift on one.
They make him sit for like 3 days outside in that sort of cross-legged position.
Mm.
His body gets all stiff and he wakes up on the third day, no food, and then all the other boys beat him up and he puts them down with sort of kung fu moves.
What?
Yeah, and you'd expect to be quite stiff. Like you and I in our 30s.
Yeah.
Absolutely no way we could sit completely motionless for 3 days and then beat up four children.
Even child llamas.
Even child llamas.
Yeah. Mostly headlocks.
Yeah, two headlocks.
They're not actually llamas.
I was thinking of this for kids. One kid under each arm, and then you've got two legs free to kick the
kick in, yeah.
But if there was an odd number of them, I don't know what I'd do.
Mm.
So the Tibetan monk who was reincarnated himself has a lot of chutzpah.
Mm.
And Cyril Henry Hoskins to formally change his name, as he did, to Carl Kuon Suo, and to approach multiple publishers. It took a while.
Mm.
Trying to publish his revelations. Also, just takes... bearing in mind, you know, he dropped out of school when he was 15, Cyril. You know, he had no real education. Takes a lot of guts.
What's the point of the Dr. Kuon Suo persona?
I don't know.
Okay.
I do not know why...
Is it meant to be a Tibetan-sounding name?
And I don't... Kuon Suo sounds vaguely Eastern, but not particularly Tibetan to me, as someone who has never been there.
So, same as...
i.e. an expert.
Yeah.
But here's an interesting aside. Apparently, several people who are now students of Tibet or subsequently became students of Tibet got interested in it, and Cyril Hill got interested in sort of the Tibetan liberation movement through his writings. So a lot of people, even though they might not necessarily be strictly speaking historically accurate, lots of people, their first introduction to Tibetan culture was through his books.
Is that like there's a lot of Wicca people now because of Harry Potter?
Oh, right. I thought you meant the Wicca Man.
No, not Wicca Man.
Wicca people rustling towards you. Get away! They're weird.
Yeah, can I just bring up the Wicca people? They'll want my dreams.
I've absolutely had it with the Wicca people.
Yeah, is that like there's a lot of modern witches because of Harry Potter, though?
I think it's a bit like that. Except that Tibet is a real place and witchcraft.
Scotland's a real place, Alistair. Isn't that? I don't know.
Is that where you think Hogwarts is? Hogwarts is
isn't it Scotland?
Is it?
Isn't it Edinburgh? I don't know.
It's probably Edinburgh.
You get the train from King's Cross.
So it's going up the Great North Eastern Line.
It's very much like being a comedian. You go to Hogwarts, Edinburgh Festival.
Good chance you'll die.
And the rest of the year you live in a cupboard under the stairs in London.
Yes, it is. So, chutzpah.
Five.
Thank you.
I mean,
I don't think I've ever seen anybody as gutsy.
If you're talking about tree-related fallings, only Newton has got him for... They're coming up with this bigger thing.
Yeah.
Except obviously Newton's thing was real.
Let's gloss over that.
Mm.
Final category for He of the Third Eye. Eyes.
Oh.
So it's at least three.
It's minimum three. Mm-hmm. Minimal three. I kind of imagine that if you can prove when he adopted the persona of Dr. Kuonsuo.
Carl Kuonsuo.
Dr. Carl?
We'll call him Dr. Carl.
He's a character in Neighbours as well.
Is he?
Yeah. If he, when adopting that character, to give the gravitas, put a pair of glasses on...
I'm almost certainly would have.
That would make him...
Four eyes.
A four eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Plus his hidden...
Yes.
That would be a fifth eye.
Okay.
So I am actually going to give you a five for eyes.
Really?
Also, because they just... If it's true that they drill into someone's head to create an eye,
yeah,
I just need to give you those points just to make that person feel better.
That's great. Well, I'm accepting that, even though, just to be clear, I don't know if that is true. But 5 points it is.
Yes.
I think that's just what must be one of the most high-scoring stories ever.
It's when you texted me to say, have you ever heard? I'd like to just read. This is my... I mean, it's just one of my favourite texts. It's what's great about doing this podcast. Yeah, so sorting out, arranging a meeting for recording the podcast. 9:09 in the morning, get a text from Alistair.
9 in the morning I texted this.
9:09, yeah.
9:09, wow, I'm well on my game that day.
Have you heard of Tuesday Lobsang Rangpa? Wonder if this story is obscure enough. And as I replied, I stand by it. Not really sure where the name begins.
You've been listening to Lawmen with me, Alistair Beckett-King.
And me, James Shakeshaft.
And that was the story of Tuesday Lobsang Rangpa, a.k.a. whoever that old bloke was.
Load of names. Next week is Valentine's special. Last year, we had Jenny Collier on telling a Welsh Valentine story about Santis Dwynwen.
J. Cole,
I think she calls herself. Yeah. We had such a fun time. We thought we'd have her back for this year's Valentine's special, which is another Welsh tale. I hope she doesn't listen to this episode where I did that Chlama joke.
Oh, she'd love that.
Did you gig much in Wales?
No, I've been banned.